So when we practice the awareness meditation, it will be increased by making images of the Buddha, making offerings to the Buddha, making offerings to the Buddha, making Buddha images. It will be much more increased, our awareness meditation. And this awareness meditation doesn't stop at you just being sharp and quick. It'll be used as a tool for meditation, gaining attainments. And when you gain those attainments that are irreversible, you will control your death. You will control your next life. And not only will you control your life and your next life and your death, you will also affect and effect the lives of people around you to transform and effect and affect their lives so they gain control over their future lives and their unhappiness and their suffering. That's what you will effect and affect around you if you have that type of mind. So in every single lifetime, you return again and again and again. And your action is the same from the time you're a small child up to the time you grow up very big. Your actions will reflect your immense compassion for others developed from another time. And each lifetime, it grows and becomes bigger, and it manifests differently. So in Tibet, maybe in a previous life, a manifestation of generosity was giving yaks to people. And then you're reincarnated in, let's say, Japan. I don't think an act of generosity is giving a yak to a Japanese guy. Well, over there, maybe we give sushi, you know? Vegetarian sushi. So compassion is there, but the act will be different in each encounter. So the point is, it arises from the mind of awareness. If you have awareness, you will change your habits. If you want to have awareness and you want it to be a Dharma-motivated awareness that becomes a tool, a weapon to slice through the actions that make you unhappy with other people and the people around you unhappy, to stop it, then you need the collection of merits. So the collection of merits are varied and very, very incredibly diverse for different diverse minds. So making tankas, offering brocade, offering water, silver, offering black tea, cleaning the area, making images, making stupas, all of that becomes an act of great merit for a specific type of merit, a specific type of purification, where it will bring you back to your mind that when you engage in different types of meditation, such as awareness, results are much quicker. And the results you gain, listen carefully, the results that you gain with your subtle mind, because you have the rakpa sheba, the chamaki sheba. Rakpa ki sheba means your gross mind. Chamaki sheba means your subtle mind. All items gained by your gross mind is lost at death. And a small imprint of it may appear in your future lives. I'll explain. Chamaki sheba means subtle mind. All attainments or transformation that arrives from your subtle mind is not lost life after life. Example, magical abilities are associated from the rough minds. Clairvoyance of the eye, of the ear, those are associated with the eye and the ear. So therefore, you can use non-Buddhistic practices to gain clairvoyant powers or bomo powers or whatever, but they are lost at the time of death because they're associated with a rough mind. So rough habits, such as maybe in a previous life you love eating pizza, that has something to do with your gross mind that is dissolved at the time of death. Why? The gross mind is something that connects with the subtle mind. The gross mind is something that interacts with the phenomenon around you. The items around you, you interact with your gross mind, which sends a message to your subtle mind. But at the time of death, all the gross mind, which are living in the five senses, dissolve into the subtle mind. And the subtle mind dissolves into a more subtle mind, and that leaves your body, and you leave your body with that mind. So all the things that you put pleasure and effort towards the gross mind is lost at the time of death. If you're very good at weaving and cloth, that is something associated with a gross mind. When you die, it's wasted, it's gone. You can't take it with you. A smell of it might be there in your next life. If you have an onion or garlic in a porcelain cup for a while, you remove it, no matter how much you wash it, there's some smell. So in the future life, maybe you have some indications toward, you know, like weaving, you become a great fashion designer or something. Maybe, but that's not guaranteed. But that itself is not an action that guarantees you freedom. So if you're very good in accounting, if you're good in drawing, spelling, teaching, professor, art, music, if you're attached to dance, sound, if you're attached to books, libraries, all these things, and you develop a skill for yachting, for cruising, and you're very good at that, you waste your time if you focus all your time at that. I'll tell you why. Because those are actions associated with your gross mind. And when you die, the gross mind is dissolved. And the gross mind can only function in relations to a gross physical body. So if you develop qualities that arises from the subtle mind, such as generosity, compassion, ethics, wisdom, patience, awareness, if you develop that in your subtle mind, your gross mind will be automatically affected. Why? The gross mind arises from the subtle mind. So when you die, if you develop compassion, and it's this much to develop, look here please. If it's this much, and you've developed this much, you in your next life will continue from here. Why? This much is with your subtle mind. You're not using your gross mind for meditation. You're not using your gross mind for attainments. Example, when you have dreams, you don't use your eyes, ears, nose, taste to experience. But you feel, you see, you hear, you talk. But you're not using that. What are you using? That is your subtle mind. That proves to you that your mind can exist without this body. And you can feel sensations, fear, happiness, love, whatever, joy. Even someone stabs you, you can feel the pain as if it's real. In your dreams, why? That is your subtle mind in action. The subtle mind arises. The subtle mind arises during the last stage of sleep for a few hours, 1.5, 2 hours, just before dawn, the deepest part of the sleep. Meditators treasure that time because they use that for meditation to contact the subtle mind. Why? Contact what? To make the subtle mind more pronounced, to overcome their gross habits. During orgasm, when we have sexual intercourse, during orgasm, if we have orgasm or we have sexual intercourse only by desire, because people feel that sex is dirty. Sex is not intrinsically dirty. Sex is only dirty when your motivation is dirty. There have been great meditators in the past in Tibet who will have sexual union with someone. After that person will do Dharma practice. It is a way to bring the Dharma according to their level. There are people that they can eat, have dinner with them because that's what they like. Afterwards, they do Dharma practice according to their needs. When you have orgasm, very quick glimpse of your subtle mind will appear, split second. And those who do tantric meditations will able to control their semen. Men and women, let me just say semen for convenience sake, will be able to control their semen when it's released, how long, and they will exercise it during sexual intercourse. Very strong, very powerful. So when they do that type of intercourse, it is not sex. It looks like it. It is practice of using your subtle winds and your drops and your energies in your body to control your body. Oh, there's those powerful practices. For what? Because when you can control your winds and you can control your sperm, these physical constituents in your body, if you can control, the bliss that you feel is 100 times greater than an orgasm. And you'll feel it constantly. And you'll always be happy. Your body will be very light. You control it. The type of orgasms that we seek is a lot of work, a lot of effort, a lot of BS, a lot of disappointment, a lot of anger, a lot of talking, a lot of mind games, and then more and more when you get it. It's very different. Very, very different. And at the time of death, your subtle mind arises. These are three times. Your subtle mind arise. And if you do the meditation such as Vajrayogini, example, during this life, you have to collect the merits, do the preliminaries, and you do Vajrayogini's practice well. Those merits will propel you to be able to attain control over your subtle mind. And then you will be an accomplished siddha.